And on Tuesday afternoons from 2 to 4 p.m., I will be bringing you, our loyal listeners, my new show, Lyrical Infusion. It's an eclectic mix of jazz, blues, world, and a little bit of indie, blended gracefully together for your afternoon consumption. I will serve up music that stimulates your mind, stirs your spirit, and invokes your soul. So join me, the Diva, at WHFR on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. We're 89.3 on your radio dial or WHFR.fm, where we stream live 24/7. Lyrical Infusion with the Diva at WHFR, where we're making waves.
The Trade and Apprentice Education Division of the Henry Ford Community College is excited to present a new 10-credit hour renewable energy certificate program. The content of the courses will be structured to inform the students of both present and future renewable energy concepts. This certificate program should interest students who are looking for an alternative to our current reliance on fossil fuels. To learn more about this program, please contact the Trade and Apprentice Education Division at 313-845-9609 or on the internet at www.hfcc.edu.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for the WHFR Forum.
Welcome to the Heights News and Views, a talk show program part of the WHFR Tuesday Forum series of talk show programs presented from 1 to 2 p.m. The Heights News and Views is a program presented live on the fifth Tuesday of any month. The program is devoted to interviews with prominent individuals on issues important to the residents of Dearborn Heights. You are listening to WHFR 89.3 FM Dearborn, making waves from the campus of the Henry Ford Community College located in Dearborn, Michigan. You can hear all of our archived forum programs on the internet by going to our website at whfr.fm. Select the option Forum. Wait for the option to select that Tuesday date for the program that you wish to hear by selecting the desired date. Now, to your host and director, Ned Apigian, for today's program.
Thank you, Melissa. As always, you are just great. Our guest today on our program is Kathleen Buda, who is the clerk of the city of Dearborn. Now, you might want to know, why are we talking about the city of Dearborn? Well, we always try to match up information about Dearborn Heights with Dearborn because Dearborn is a slightly larger, slightly richer community, definitely more diverse. And the last time we did this, we were talking about the police chiefs of both communities. Unfortunately, today, our clerk in Dearborn Heights was unable to attend, so Kathy has agreed to go on alone, and we're going to learn a lot about clerks, whether clerks are in Dearborn Heights or or anywhere else. And so I'm eternally grateful to her for coming. Kathy, thank you for coming.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm sure before the end of this program, we're at least going to do a half an hour before we talk about the Dearborn Heights budget. I understand that is of great interest lately. And tell us something about yourself first, personal, like you're originally born and raised here.
I was born at Dearborn Medical Village, which is no longer standing. I was raised in Dearborn. I went to Sacred Heart grade school and high school. I attended Henry Ford Community College for a couple years back in the mid-70s, I believe. I got my four-year bachelor's degree from Mercy College of Detroit. And
what was your degree in at Mercy?
I had a double major, law enforcement and social science.
There you go. Should have been a policeman.
Well, I did join the Dearborn Police Department, but it was at a time when women weren't thought of too highly by police departments, and I found myself moving on.
Well, and then I assume, what was your employment history prior to becoming a clerk? Essentially.
Well, my family owned a catering business for years, and it started in the 30s and progressed through the generations. I was third generation to work in it, and then I found that I needed to have some benefits, so I applied for work with the city of Dearborn and got a call from the clerk's office, and I was hired as a typist out front. And the clerk at that time was Dwayne Weidendorf. I don't know if you knew Dwayne
no,
at all.
No, I didn't.
He has since passed on, but he was a wonderful predecessor. He set the bar very high for the person.
So you learned clerking on the job.
Well, I did. My main...
And that's the way to learn it, I guess.
It truly is. My main function was vital records, birth and death records in the city of Dearborn. There's a point of interest. We have roughly 5,000 births in the city per year and maybe about 1,600 deaths per year, and it's a big revenue item with the city.
We'll get to that. I'm wondering. Let's begin. The state's equivalent of a clerk, I guess, is the Secretary of State. Somebody is your boss when you're right down through the country.
You are correct. And we have a new one, Ruth Johnson, who was a county clerk. I want to say Oakland County.
Uh-huh. So clerking begins with there are always elected officials, the Secretary of State. And then eventually we have county clerks, the next order of authority.
Correct.
And theoretically all the city clerks and township clerks are under her jurisdiction. In this case, I think it's Kathy Garrett, right?
Kathy Garrett is a Wayne County clerk.
Wayne County clerk. And then we digress to cities, and then after cities, we have townships, and then villages. Villages being a smaller unit, the smallest unit of government we have in Michigan, if I'm not mistaken.
Is I think correct? You are correct, Ned.
Good. Are the responsibilities of the village and township and city clerk similar?
I'm not real familiar with the villages, but as far as township clerks go, they do get a vote on their board, whereas the city clerks
do not. But essentially what they're doing in terms of elections and some of the records that they have to keep are probably similar.
I would say so.
Because I myself don't know. And the one thing about doing this, you always learn something by asking people questions that you don't know anything about.
I'm sure our responsibilities are very parallel.
Yeah. The county clerk is a little different. Can you expound on what county clerks do?
Well, I would say it's a lot different because county clerks, to get married, you have to go to the county clerk. The city clerk cannot get you a marriage license. She also, what else? I'm not so sure.
Well, when you're doing your election stuff, most of that information comes from the county clerk, too. Your balloting and stuff gets verified with them, I think.
That is correct. Any given election night, we have to take the results down to
the
county.
Right, to the county.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have the same she doesn't act at the county commission meeting as the way you act at a city council meeting, does
no,
she?
No, I don't think
she's
so.
She's not their secretary.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, she's not there taking, although we in Dearborn Heights, we have a secretary that's theoretically our secretary. I'm sure in Dearborn it's the same. The council persons all may have the same secretary.
You're correct there, but I do think the council meetings in Dearborn Heights and Dearborn, you're right. I've attended a couple of your meetings, and I've seen your clerk.
They're similar, yeah. She calls the roll in ours.
I read the agenda and take minutes.
You actually do? You don't have a person that does it?
That is correct. We are responsible for all agenda items, all council meetings, unless it's a briefing session or a study session.
We have a secretary that actually takes the minutes, but the clerk is sitting there throughout. Not really saying much, but in any event. So now that we know what clerks kind of do, clerks are generally always elected. Is that not true?
I can't give you a percentage, but there are a lot of communities in the state of Michigan that are appointed. I'm totally against.
I understand that we have clerk treasurers. You don't have an elected treasurer in Dearborn. In Dearborn Heights, we have an elected treasurer. And there's some discussion in Dearborn Heights, since we've had a change in clerk, that maybe in the future we ought to have a clerk, treasurer, clerk. And in trying to find someone to take Mr. Pruszewicz's place today from Dearborn Heights, I believe in discussing with Garden City that they had that situation, treasurer, clerk.
Is that right?
Yes.
Allison Bettis?
I tried to find a substitute for our clerk and was not successful. Both in Taylor, these are adjoining communities, as well as Garden City and Redford, but I think that's what I heard.
I was under the impression, though, that at least in Wayne County, a clerk is a clerk is a clerk, and we don't combine it with the treasury or assessors or...
Yeah, with the except... Well, yours, in your situation, you don't have an elected treasurer because somebody it was passed away, and the controller took over that job in Dearborn.
Well, you're right. Yeah. Well, they did change the charter.
Yeah. That brings us to another subject of the charters. The charters between our cities are significantly different. Do you have an opinion about charters? Is there something in your charter? Do you think all clerks should see in their charter? In other words, do you want a responsibility you don't have? And or is there a responsibility you would like not to have?
Well, I will say
two
that
good questions.
Yeah, a few years back, the voters voted to review our charter and pass a new one, and I sat through as clerk of the charter commission. There's another responsibility.
Well, because you had a charter commission.
That's true. So there were about 50 meetings, I guess, and when it came to at least my department, the clerk's department. I did. If something were to happen to me or in the future any clerk before the term was over, I could not see the need to hold a special election. So that has changed.
So you did it to what? You have appointed one until the next election?
The deputy clerk would take over.
If you have a deputy clerk.
And I do have a deputy, and that's part of the charter, that the clerk has the authority to appoint a deputy.
I see.
And that's important.
It sure is, but when you look at the budget savings we're trying to do all over the place, the first thing we want to do is get rid of the deputies.
Why is that? Those poor deputies. We rely on them.
They make less money. You always want to eliminate the... when we had our early retirements, the whole idea was to have some people retire so that we could liberate the budget. I don't know what it did to the pension plan, but they say that whoever does the numbers on that, they say it works out fine. I don't know.
We had a mass exit in Dearborn with the early buyouts also. I lost 3 full-time positions.
Was this recently?
Yes. It was last December. And I'm also going to have two early retirements at the end of September, so hopefully I'll be able to replace those people, because we are a busy office.
Sure.
With the birth and death records, licensing, and when there's an election, of course,
right.
You want to concentrate on all that, and then you council people have to keep having all these meetings that the clerk has to be concerned with.
Well, that brings us to an interesting comparison. How many people do you have in your office in Dearborn?
Right now, including myself, there are 7 and 1 part-timer.
Wow, yours is 7 plus 1. I think we have, the 7 includes you.
Correct.
I think we're 2.
2?
We're 2. Well, actually, our secretary and we have a person, and we have no more deputy. So we had the clerk, a deputy, we have no more deputy. And one person, so the clerk has 2 people in the office. So it's 1 plus 2. And one of those 2 is the council secretary, but she still works in the clerk's office. And
how many people in Dearborn Heights? Of the 100,000 in Dearborn, how many people in Dearborn Heights?
Interesting statistics. We did pretty good in the census. We didn't lose that many people. It's interesting.
So how many did you have?
About 50, I think it was 53 to 55,000. Dearborn is...
Well, you know, Kathy doesn't know, and I can be unofficial about it. This is Jay Koronek, who's running the board here, but I know that Dearborn is just a few less than Flint, Michigan's population. Flint is at 102,000. I think we're 98, just under 100,000,
yeah.
Something like that. So I had no idea, Ned, that you were 55,000 over there.
You thought it was
where all those people come from? Yeah, I thought it was.
Well, the interesting thing was, I think you know, if I would have had that number, I'd have brought it with me. We lost about 500 families, I thought. But when you consider the recession and where people are likely to go, the poor communities, you might think, you know, West Bloomfield might lose people, but it was interesting. We did pretty good. Anyway, we're at the quarter point, and we've got so much more to talk about. And what we want to tell you now is you are listening to WHFR at 89.3 FM on your dial, and we are the college radio station of the Henry Ford Community College, broadcasting live from our campus located on Evergreen, just south of Ford Road. And you are listening to The Forum, and this is the news and views of Dearborn Heights. And our special guest today is Kathleen Buda, who is the clerk of the city of Dearborn, and this is how we're going to find out what clerks do. In this part of the program, we're going to find out specifically what goes on in her office. We'll talk about elections secondly, but firstly, tell us about these licenses and business licensing and dogs. What's all that about?
Dogs, too.
Yeah, they've
yes,
got to register those okay. dogs.
The license, I think, is presently $7. The fee's going to be raised July 1st, and we license roughly 3,000 dogs in any given year in the city.
And the purpose of it is just to raise $7 at times
3,000? Not at all, Ned, not at all. It's in case your dog gets away from you or, you know, runs away.
And you can
we can identify.
It. I see.
Mm-hmm.
And does a dog have to have some sort of health papers, say he had this shot and that shot, else you don't get the license?
That's correct. We need to see updated proof of rabies vaccination.
That's something I didn't know. I just took a wild guess. That had to be a reason. It's a
I get a lot of questions about why the heck don't we license cats in the city of Dearborn?
I didn't know that.
Do you license cats in Dearborn Heights?
I'm the last person to ask. I'm hoping to learn about what clerks do by asking you.
And we have over 100 different...
I've never heard of a cat license.
No, so I haven't either.
Might be the same. How about the other things, the business licenses? What's behind that?
Well, it's like with building contractors. You want to know that they are certified,
mm-hmm.
and also insured. So if something goes wrong, the people can...
So in order to do business in Dearborn or in Dearborn Heights, you have to be registered with the city to do
that
work.
That is correct.
And in Dearborn, at least, you want to know if they're licensed plumbers or licensed electricians or...
That's correct.
Or what have you.
They have to show us their state license to get registered
in
the city.
And then some sort of proof of insurance that they're insured?
Quite a few of the licenses, yes, you need the insurance.
How about bonded? Is that another requirement of yours? Whether they're bonded to do certain kinds
insured.
Of work.
Same thing.
Same thing. It's a little different, I guess.
Okay.
They could have liability insurance, yes.
If they're a restaurant, they would need some sort of health certificate. Is that a license, too, in your office, or is that a different department?
That's from Wayne County.
They have to go through training, some classes to have a...
You have to have a certified somebody. I remember at the Armenian Community Center where I was on the board of directors, we had Peter Veach, who was a graduate from this program here that we have.
And I had to go, too, when I was catering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good thing to have at least one person.
One person has to be certified, yeah. And their name and telephone is put on the wall.
And we also license restaurants, depending on how many seats are in the facility.
As well as the county getting its health certificate. Mm,
that's correct.
Is there something else you guys license?
Garage sales.
Garage. What's the idea behind that?
Well, there's a limit to 2 a year per household.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. And the first one is $5, and the second one is $15, and each one is limited to 3 consecutive days.
And you can sell anything you want?
Anything legal.
I see, yeah. I suppose.
Not medical marijuana, Ned.
No, I'm not interested in that.
No.
And neighborhoods can get a license if they want to do the whole block at the same time?
That is correct. And we do have a couple neighborhoods that do it annually. And people, I think, camp out now anymore waiting to be...
I'm in the Springwells Park homes over there, It's big. It's big. That, and I think in West Dearborn, the so-called historical district, although Springwell's is an historic district, too, but I know on the west side of town, that's very big. It's near the mayor, Gregory, and the streets next to that.
And also Dearborn Hills.
Oh, Dearborn Hills, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I didn't know that. I know in Dearborn Heights, we've throughout the last several years, we sponsor a gigantic garage sale,
citywide.
The citywide garage sale, where instead of people doing it themselves, in spite of the fact that they do, they pay $25, and for 3 days at the Canfield Center in August, I'm not sure what the date is in August now, if I knew we were going to talk about that, and they have people from all over buying parking stalls, and it turns out to be over 150 or so.
Wow.
And at $25 a person, it's a little bit of an income.
That's a good revenue item.
And it's gone real terrifically the last 3 or 4 years. And so that's one. Now, tell us about the death and the birth certificates.
Well, since we have Oakwood Hospital inside the city of Dearborn.
Yeah, that means everything that happens there comes to you.
If you're born there or you die there, yes, it comes to us.
What if you were born in Henry Ford Hospital or die there, what happens?
Then that goes to the city of Detroit.
Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to go to the Herman Kiefer Center.
Yes, you do. But for all other cities in the county of Wayne County, the county clerk does have birth and death records.
Oh. So in Dearborn Heights, would we have birth and death? No, we wouldn't because we don't have a hospital there.
Right, but I'm sure you have. You've got some senior centers there. There must be some death records.
That I don't know.
Not every city.
We have two senior centers.
Not every city clerk is a registrar for the state of Michigan. Dearborn is because of Oakwood Hospital.
I see. Yeah, we don't. Because we don't have a hospital within the city limits, a Garden City Hospital is right on the city mm-hmm. limit, so that's a problem for Garden City.
It does keep us busy. Between birth and death records throughout the year, it's over a couple $100,000 that we bring in.
What does it usually cost per certificate? Is it different for a death or a life?
Nope.
No. They're the same?
It's $15 for the first and then $5 for each additional, but I'm glad you brought that up. Effective July 1st, it's going to be $20 for the first and $5 for each additional.
It's a good way to get some extra money. You can't control it. The next big area, since we've covered everything, there isn't anything else, I guess, is elections. What's your big responsibility on elections?
Everything that has to do.
Why don't you break it down into logical pieces? You tell me.
Well, let's start with getting people to staff 50 precincts in the city of Dearborn. That is, you know, anything can happen the day of an
precinct
election.
Precinct workers you need.
Precinct workers, yes.
About 150 you need then, at least.
Correct. Well, depending on the size of the election, like for presidential, we like to have 5 or 6 working per precinct.
So you have shifts?
Usually. No, we do not have shifts.
It's all days.
Six in the morning till 8 at night.
14 hours.
It's a long day.
For most of them are senior citizens.
Volunteers?
That's correct. No, they
get
paid.
No, they get paid.
I think it's $125 now for the day.
I don't know. I thought it was $100 in Dearborn Heights. I'm
well, that's
sure.
Dearborn Heights.
Yeah, it could be different.
Wow, I'll sign up.
Yeah, you could sign
please.
Up.
Please.
You're busy.
Please.
Are you kidding? That 14-hour day is a grueler.
When I first took over as clerk, we had over 100 precincts in the city of Dearborn to accommodate roughly 59,000 voters. Mm. And I slowly started dwindling it down, and now we are down to 50. And with the redistricting coming up, I'm going to be looking at cutting the number down even more.
Well, the redistricting is not going to affect you that much, is it?
Well, don't know. If it happens, then I'll deal with it and consolidate the precinct somewhat.
Yeah, that's the name of the game, if you can, I suppose.
A point of interest, do you know how many registered voters you can have at any given precinct in the state of Michigan?
No, I didn't know there was a limit.
There is, 2,999. And Dearborn has, I don't think we have any precinct that has over 2,000 voters. Mm-hmm. Granted, the city has been spoiled, but we do have to start making cuts wherever possible.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. So we have the problem now. What happens with primaries? That's a special problem for you. You want to avoid primary elections. What's your responsibility when it comes to primaries?
It's an election just like the general would be.
Yeah, and then what? What do you generally have to do? You have to...
Same number of workers?
Depending on... Depending if it's a presidential, we would probably have more.
You have separate school board elections like we have in Dearborn Heights?
No. Oh, we are so blessed in Dearborn.
We 50 people show up, it costs a fortune.
Right, but you've got how many different?
They have...
Five? That's absurd.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, where I live in Dearborn Heights in the Fairlane District, we're in the Dearborn school system.
Oh, okay.
So the city of Dearborn only has one district. Why there is this mishmash, I couldn't tell you.
That's got to change.
Maybe it has to do with relative other communities not being. Is there anything else you want to tell us about elections that's your responsibility? It's the counting, that problem.
It's the counting, yes. And things arise throughout any given election day. There certainly is no script for an election day. We have had problems. One year there were two gentlemen running for district court judge, and I was asked to come down to the precinct because there was a shouting match going on, and fingers were starting to be thumped into the chest, and I just stood between the two, and I said, gentlemen, this is an election. Let's act a little better.
Well, yes, go ahead, Jay.
Well, I was going to ask about the people in the parking lots, the campaigners. Now, they have to stay so far away from the polling establishment, but
100 feet.
Who regulates that? If one of your officials knows about it, do they go out or they call the police? Or
they have the authority to go out, but one of the things I cover in training is if there is any fear whatsoever, do not make any movement. I will come out or call 911. We have had police called a number of times.
You have this issue of challengers. There's like sometimes a particular party will go out,
yes,
especially in poor districts, and challenge all the people that look like they're going to vote one way or another. Or what they actually can come into the polling places.
But there are
what do they do? They want to make sure, they want to look at the person's ID?
There are limitations what they can challenge, Ned.
I think
the challenge is they have knowledge that that person is not a registered voter, does not live at the address that they say they reside. I can't think of what the other one might be.
How about this photo ID business that we're hearing about in other communities? Do we have that here in Michigan? We have to see. I vote absentee, and I really don't know.
Yes, you need your driver's license.
You need a photo ID.
Yes, I'm very happy about that, because before anybody could come and say, "I'm so and so," and they sign their name
in
and they're issued a ballot.
Right, and they would at least you're verifying the address.
Correct.
With the photo.
Where I go to vote, the precinct workers know they better even ask me for my ID.
Well, in your case, they know who you are.
But
right?
Still.
You're a star. You're the boss of bosses.
Still.
They can't ask you that.
What about the counting of the absentee ballots? Who does that, and how long does it usually take?
Again, depending on the size of the turnout, we have absentee workers. They work in our council chambers and start anywhere from 11 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon, depending on the turnout. And they are sequestered. They can't leave the room.
Oh, this
excuse
is,
me.
Oh, this is counting your ballots.
Counting the absentee
Isn't
ballots.
I see.
We do not open them up until election day.
Are they not counted at every they're not counted at every precinct?
No.
They're open.
Some communities do.
I see.
Count the absentees at their precinct, but I think that's too much responsibility.
Not only that, the clerk has them all in the main office. How would they get to?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
What do you do for challenges? I know in my own race it didn't affect me. I was first, so the people that were second and third turned out to be one vote between them. And the county had to get involved, and they spent 3 days with 10 people counting all the votes.
And who pays for that?
That's the question, I think.
You know what you pay if you want a recount? It's $10 per precinct.
Yeah, in our case, as I understand, it cost the person in third place $395. But it didn't cost a lot more than that for the recount.
One way or another, we're paying for
right.
a recount.
Okay, do you have something special you want to add that we didn't ask you about what clerks do?
Just that I feel it's an honorable position, especially in my hometown. I'm very proud to be the clerk. Every 4 years, the electorate has the choice of putting me back in office or replacing me with someone who they think can do a better job.
Have you had challengers lately?
The last election, no, I ran unopposed, and that was a wonderful feeling.
That's right.
Because there's less work, and if I have to concentrate on election at hand.
It's a lot cheaper.
That too, Ned. That too.
Tell me. I have to use my own money. Kathleen, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Ned.
We don't want to keep you here any longer. We appreciate the time you gave us.
Thank you.
And I'm only sorry we couldn't have somebody else to verify some of the information. And I will be in touch with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
And we're going to do a station ID before we go into a PSA. You've been listening to Kathleen Buda, who is our guest today. And she is the clerk of the city of Dearborn. And we are very grateful for her agreeing to come and participate with us. Now she can tell the mayor of Dearborn, I was there too. And this is the WHFR Forum. We are live every Tuesday from 1 to 2 with our talk show series. And today's program is News and Views of Dearborn Heights. And we appear on the fifth Tuesday of any month. And we are broadcasting on WHFR 89.3 FM. On your dial, here from the Henry Ford Community College, located in Dearborn, Michigan, off Evergreen and Ford Road. Thank you very much for listening. And now we'll have a PSA.
And we'll be right back after that.
Thank you so much.
Henry Ford Community College has a medical practice clinical management degree program that will prepare you for a rewarding career in the exciting field of healthcare. You can earn a certificate as a medical office assistant or a 2-year degree in medical office management. For more information, give us a call at 800-585-HFCC.
Think you have what it takes? We do. Henry Ford Community College. Visit us online at hfcc.edu.
If you want to change the world, then you have to change yourself. One of the best places in the Metro Detroit area to improve your life is Henry Ford Community College. Henry Ford Community College offers dozens of degree and certificate programs, plus the opportunity to network with your peers and potential employers. Taking classes at Henry Ford Community College gives you the freedom to take your own career path and opens up an infinite number of career possibilities. Additionally, day and evening classes allow you the flexibility of building a schedule tailored to your busy lifestyle. So change the world, change yourself at Henry Ford Community College. For more information on admittance and financial aid and class schedules, call the Henry Ford Community College toll-free number at 1-800-585-HFCC. Again, that's 1-800-585-HFCC.
Henry Ford Community College is a great way to get a valuable education at a lower cost. Visit hfcc.edu and compare for yourself. You'll see that the cost of 60 credit hours at Eastern Michigan University is $10,000 higher than the cost of 60 credit hours at Henry Ford Community College. It's $12,000 higher at Oakland University and $17,000 higher at University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Remember, we offer a 4-year tuition freeze guarantee, which assures you that today's tuition rates will be frozen for students who graduate from HFCC within 4 years. Henry Ford Community College is located near the corners of Ford and Evergreen Roads. Visit hfcc.edu for more details. The choice is clear. Henry Ford Community College, your best choice, guaranteed.
Welcome back to the Dearborn Heights News and Views. My name is Jay Koronick, and I'm here assisting Netta Piggy and the host of this show. And we thought in the second portion here, since it's hot news in Dearborn Heights, all about the new budget that they've just approved. Was it last week? And that's going to start on July 1st, of course. First of all, Ned, since you're a city council person in Dearborn Heights, you're one of the participants here. It wasn't a unanimous vote. It was 4-2, so there was some controversy. What do you think the major issues of controversy were? I assume here, first of all, is that some of you on the council were concerned that the budget wouldn't be perhaps cutting enough or wouldn't have enough money to get through. Was that one of the reasons why it wasn't unanimous?
I think because every aspect of it is not absolutely known. And in many instances, it's not possible to absolutely know. And you have to assume that what we think in our case, which is similar to Dearborn's, there are about 8 communities like that. We have what's referred to as strong mayor, weak council. So the mayor and the administration are really doing most of the work, and then it comes before the council to approve or not approve. And that gives the opportunity for some council persons to say, I'm not sure of what you think would happen here or what might happen there without being specific. And what your proposed savings on item X and the proposed expenditures on item Y, you haven't shown me enough detail for me to be reassured that everything adds up and the numbers you're presenting are Absolutely correct. I think that's all it amounts to.
I'm sure, just like budget discussions at the state level or federal level, some people will vote no because of a specific provision or two that doesn't affect the majority of the money, but still they feel it's not appropriate to do things that way. We'll go further with this, and I appreciate your letting me lead this discussion a little bit here.
Absolutely.
There were four of you who voted in favor of it: yourself, Netapigian, Council Chair Ken Barron, Councilman Tom Barry, and Councilwoman Marge Horvath. Is interesting, and although I know there's good reasons, but Councilwoman Elizabeth Aegis
was absent
that day. And of course it could be a health issue or a family issue. After all,
I think
council
she
people
was out of town, to tell you the truth. Okay, well, I think she may have been on vacation or something. I don't know.
Did she know this was coming up? It seems a pretty important vote on the budget. If you're going to be at City Council at all during the year, and I'm not criticizing her because she might have had her, very good reasons, but that how far in advance did you know that this was going to be the date to approve the budget?
I think we knew that for sure.
A couple months ago?
Oh, I would say weeks, not months. Okay. You never know. She's an experienced person that's been on the council for almost 10 years, and she knows what she's talking about, so I'm sure she was aware of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any explanation
I know
why
some,
she wasn't.
You know, even in Dearborn and at the state office, it's interesting politically if you're, it comes down to voting, like who's showing up and who isn't. And of course, there's reasons for not being there. But
well, I agree with you. It was a little strange.
Yeah, okay.
I sense it was such an important meeting, but I never questioned it, to tell you the truth.
Well, maybe it was just assumed, too, and this often happens for absentees, is that there will be a majority, and they're in favor of what the majority's in favor of, in this case, passing it, and so they feel that their presence wouldn't change the outcome, although it was close. 4-2, one more person voting against, and it would have been tied. Was there anything you could do about a tie? Is there somebody, the mayor overrules that? What happens in Dearborn Heights if there's
was
a tie?
A tie, the chairperson would break a tie. But
vote
in this
twice?
Case, no, in this case, he voted.
Right, he did, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
So he voted to break the tie.
He didn't vote to break the tie. I think it was a tie with him. There was six. It was 3-3, and then I haven't read the article, and you have. I assume you realize.
Oh, it was 3-3.
We went into a closed session during the meeting to try to resolve our differences.
Okay.
And then we came out.
So that's when
voted.
Council Chair Ken Barron voted in favor, and that made the difference.
No. He voted. His vote was made at 3-3.
Right.
And because we had a deadlock, there wasn't anybody to break the deadlock. It was decided to go into a closed session, of which we had a discussion about the budget. And to be quite frank, a question was raised, is what would happen if this budget is not adopted, and we would have a shutdown of the city, pretty much like you hear about the federal government. So I guess that was enough to put the smelling salts under someone's nose.
Looking at in more detail here, is the article even on the front page of the Press and Guide, and looking at the Dearborn Heights Press and Guide from last
Sunday,
May 29th, the millage supporting the voter-approved Act 345 pension plan for police and fire department employees was set at 6.1 mils. So people of Dearborn Heights will get a tax increase, although
which
it was part of what was approved. They agreed this was the way they wanted to do it, is an increase from the 4.7 mils that it's set at now. So, and amazingly, that extra 1.4 mils will generate almost $7 million of additional tax revenue.
It's amazing what those mills will do.
No, not more. Not 7 mills more. It'll generate $6.7 million dollars, but right now you're generating 5.6. So it's about another another $1 million for that millage increase. So definitely there was not an issue there. I mean, you needed the extra money and you had to raise raise it that way.
Well, there's something about that Act 345, which is a little bit of a mystery, and I'm the last person in the world to try to explain it in great detail. I could only tell you this much about it. Act 345 was something adopted in the state of Michigan in 1937.
Huh.
And we in the city of Dearborn took a vote, I believe, I don't want to give you the exact date, it might be in the mid to late 60s because we became a city in 1963. I don't know what the article probably doesn't talk about that. No. And I can't tell you how many times I wanted to have a very good definition of what this Act 345 means. In a nutshell, it is for the benefit of policemen and firemen only. It's their pension plans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though they are slightly different, policemen and firemen are treated differently in many respects from the rest of the city employees, not only in Dearborn Heights, but I would say everywhere else. Anywhere else that has adopted this 345. And the problem with 345, there are some people in our city that come to meetings and want to us to opt out of this 345 because there's a formula that automatically increases those mills, those percentages. It's done automatically. The voters aren't, if that article gives you the perception that the voters approved such a thing, it isn't that at all. It's on an automatic incline, and certainly there's a movement afoot to try to take all new police and firemen off that automatic increase.
I know in Dearborn, Ned, and I've talked to Mayor O'Reilly, heard him comment on these things, certainly the amount of money that they have to put aside for the pensions that they have to invest
right.
is decided by some outside group of auditors, statisticians, who say that...
I forget the word now. It's on the tip of my tongue there.
Based on the projection of...
Right.
How
long they'll live and
right.
their ages.
Right. And the interest rates that the investments are likely to,
right.
recoup. In other words, how much money is coming in.
And that's precisely the problem.
There's been huge increases of 15 to 20% in the last year. And so the city of Dearborn, though, to my knowledge, at this point, that additional money has to come out of the general budget revenues. But I have heard that the additional millage that Mayor O'Reilly was proposing might be needed, perhaps on a November ballot, and this hasn't been finalized. The Dearborn budget will have one more time to be talked about on Monday.
But that won't have anything to do with 345.
Well, it might, because the last thing I read in the paper, which may or may not be totally accurate, is that the City Council of Dearborn may earmark the millage increase, which was if they went with it, to hold us for the next couple of years in terms of budget, about 3.5 mils is what additional it would be asking for, is that it would be earmarked for police and fire. And that was new. I just read that last week. Again, it's all just speculation. It hasn't been approved yet. But it seems like that they may try to identify that millage and that millage approval by the voters as only going to cover the police and fire pension increases. And I'm not sure if the voters will vote for that or not. They have identified they want a minimum staffing, which Dearborn Heights doesn't really have,
right.
of police and fire numbers, the number of full-time people. The charter does demand that. And so, in a way, I can't see how voters wouldn't feel compelled to vote for that additional millage.
I thought of the word.
Okay.
What happens with these pension plans? The city funds these pension plans from the general fund, which in everyday language is your tax dollars. And this is the problem. As our tax valuations are going down due to this recession, we're getting less money. And these pensions have to be funded, and we have people called actuarians that decide
actuarials. Mm-hmm.
how weather this. Now, the last time I saw in Dearborn Heights, our pensions were funded 100%. We didn't have any problems. There are communities that may not be, and they need to raise some money in order to fund those pensions because they have to fund them. Mm-hmm. There's the other aspect of this, and that is the monies that we have invested are invested in a poor market, not making much money.
Right.
But thank God, as I know from one of our closed sessions, our pension investments are invested better than some of the others, which means they're generating more money than they could be under this circumstance. So we're funding our pensions, but this Act 345 is specific for police and fire. Now, some people think that we should be off of this, bring this to the voters' attention. Once the voters find out what's in that Act 345, they're not going to like it.
Yeah, but as you said, that's a state
Well, it's something we adopted, and it's kind of automatic, these increases.
Right.
And I'm not the best
person. You can't fight those. They have to be funded somehow.
Unless you decide to get out of it, which means apparently the voters can. The only person that I know that comes to our meetings on occasion has a proposal that the Act 345 not be associated with any new hires. Well, guess what? There aren't that many new hires. Mm-hmm. There are more retirees that positions are not being filled.
Right.
Really, the way to affect that is to change it. Now, I'm not, to me, whatever I learned about that was, when I was a candidate, I was asked once, what I knew about Act 345, was I for the extension of it? And I said, I have no idea what that is, and I didn't make a comment.
Right.
It was not until later I found out that it had to do with pensions, and I didn't know they were automatically funded by the actuarians.
Let's go back to an overview here. Basically, there's other than the specific millage increase to cover the additional pension costs, there's no other millage or tax increases in Dearborn Heights that have just been approved. Is that true?
I don't.
It looks like from the article, everything else is staying the way it was, except for the additional millage for that. Health care costs are an issue in addition to pensions, but it looks like you've had some savings.
They're going down. Mm-hmm. What the mayor's been doing, and he's the one that's doing these
negotiations.
The negotiations, mm-hmm. it's within his department,
right.
is that we're trying to get everybody on pretty much the same health program.
Mm-hmm.
Which saves us some money getting everybody on it. And
yeah, for some reason, Dearborn can't do it that way, but it's, the mayor is to be commended in terms of trying to find costs and working with the union groups to bring about these
We have an interest. These things don't go. Sometimes they talk about round two, and when they talk about round two, we have some union contracts that were not renewed in 2008, and they went mm-hmm. all the way to 2011. In other words, they accepted the previous contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They got behind. And then some of them worked against them by not renegotiating their contracts. You being in one, you know how that works.
Yes, sure.
You just continue with the old one until you get a new one. The real problem is you need all these contracts to come due at the same time, and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's the same economic period of there's either wealth or there isn't any of which you'd be renegotiating them.
Right, and it's
they all come due at different times.
It's always a question of how it's phased in. I see that Councilwoman Badalow says that she's not so sure the city will realize the savings in the union contracts because it's a matter of when they're coming in or when they're taking effect or in the budget. But that's just there's speculation in any budget. I mean, you don't really know what your costs are going to be till you get to the end of the year, in fact.
Exactly.
And I thought it was interesting that there was, it looks like other than layoffs you mentioned in general, there's usually always layoffs, that the budget, the first budget that came to the council, not the one that was adopted, proposed the and required the layoff of a Bob and Crap.
And Crap. He's our Crap. Emergency manager.
I guess we can say that on the air. I'm sorry. His
Ann
last
Crap.
Name is spelled A-N-K-R-A-P-P. Emergency manager and public information officer. Like
yeah,
he writes the press releases and...
He does a couple of different things.
It's an unusual combination of jobs, but he's going to be, his position is going to be continued, and he's the one that's going to be in it. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody decided that what he did was very important, and he did several things, not just one thing. And the mayor was trying to find a way how to keep him, and then the council agreed that we needed to keep him. So you want to call that the only...
I don't know how the city can get along, even a city the size of Dearborn Heights, without a spokesperson, a public relations person who has the words to explain city operations to the people. That seems pretty important all the time, full-time.
In
Dearborn,
we
have Mary Landrosh and I think five or six others full-time. Of course, the city of Dearborn gets involved in a lot of issues where there has to be public comment, and I know Mary helps organize Dearborn Homecoming and is very involved in, like I saw her yesterday at the Memorial Day Parade, working with all the press and that coverage, and there's less of that responsibility there, but in emergency management, I think that's under our police department in Dearborn.
Every community is supposed to have one, so it's important.
Okay.
Now, our savings at $2 million is, I think, pretty good when you take it as a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between $36 million and versus $38 million is $2 million, give or take some pennies, as a percentage is... out of a budget of 38, if 10% would be $380,000, so that's a pretty good savings. Now, in most of our contracts, there's
10%
also...
10% would be $3.8 million.
Yeah, 3.8, but still, so it's a little less.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, no, any savings are good. It looks like you do have a emergency fund balance of about $2.5 million. It's about $2.5 million, not quite $2.5 million. So that's good to always have a fund balance.
I'm not sure we have a fund balance. The newspaper says we have a fund balance.
Yeah, it seemed that way. This budget is $1.7 million less, it says overall. And where was the fund balance? I thought I read 2.4, but of course some of that might be needed to pay for some of the new budget. I know in Dearborn, a significant amount of our fund balance is going to be spent this year. We're still going to have a balance, but we had $30 million in the bank,
right?
Way more than most other cities, and we've been taking withdrawals every year to try to keep going.
You need an emergency fund balance about 10%. A city in Dearborn Heights would have to have $3.5 million, and that would be fine. I don't think we have it.
No, I don't think you have that much.
I think what we have is we've been borrowing. We've given our treasurer the authority to borrow from our own funds, our water and sewer, and there are several funds that are under his control.
Yeah.
That we can borrow from because we know when the taxes come in the end of summer, we can replace the funds.
Yeah, Dearborn did that in the last year's budget, and the budget director very definitely, after last year's budget was proposed, came in front of the council and said, you can never do that again. We're down right at, you can't borrow from any of these other funds.
Yeah, if you don't
have. Not another penny because... We have to have, the money when it's needed for those different purposes.
Right, the water.
But you can do it for a while. Yeah, you can borrow from yourself, from the other funds for a while.
I think it was done last year when I wasn't on the council. It's repaid. It has to be repaid. But the problem is as your general fund gets, as your taxes are going lower and lower and lower, we're nowhere near we're not a problem city in that, Governor Snyder's looking to send us an emergency manager.
No,
we're nowhere near that.
I know when we talked to Mayor Politko, was it last year on the show, he was very happy with the new businesses coming into the city. Of course, the property values still keep going down, but he was very happy with
No one's fault. It's not ours. It's not anyone else's.
No, no. So you're holding your own there, and that's good.
I think we're holding our own, and I think the mayor is doing as good a job as he can do. And he assured us there are some assets we have that he wasn't indicating in our budget.
Mm-hmm.
We have... The sale of our the joint what's it called, Wayne County Authority, where we had the garbage situation.
Mm-hmm.
that facility, I'm trying to think of its official name, that property is up for sale. We're not counting a penny of we don't know what we think it's been sold for.
What about that film studio I heard of? Is that still just pie in the sky, nothing finalized there?
I don't know.
Now that the new film incentive is gone, I don't know if that's going to
So I think the council people were reassured that there's a lot of assets that he has not included, he's kept in reserve, that if this doesn't happen, we still have that, but I'm not counting on it. Some of our agreements with some of our unions, they have an interesting clause that if Union X decides to take less, let's say, on their health care plan or on their pension plan, some change, that gives us the right to look at all the rest again.
Yeah, people in Dearborn Heights, if you're listening to the show, and maybe it's the first time you've caught it, either on the podcast or maybe you're listening live today on May 31st, 2011, Ned, how can they find out more about the government and the meetings? What's the website? I know the Dearborn website address. What's the website address for Dearborn Heights? Put you on the spot here.
It's a long thing.
Oh, okay.
Dearborn Heights, CI. MIUS, I mean, whoever invented that website for the city, I suggest you call the city and they could give you exactly what it is. More importantly, come to the meetings. At least watch us on television. That's always entertaining.
And when does that happen?
We're on, I think, depending on your supplier, I should say, your provider.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 12 o'clock.
Okay, I've got.
I never watch it. To tell
I got the address, and it is unusual, folks. But the website for the city of Dearborn Heights is one that an address they were sort of given. You didn't pay extra money like Dearborn has. cityofdearborn.org, but they had to pay extra money for that in order to keep it. Yours is www.ci.
That's what I told you.
And I'm not sure what that stands for.
I think
city information or whatever dot Dearborn dash not subscript
right.
Heights dot mi dot us.
Remember, I told you.
So I'll do that one more time for those of you who have a pencil and paper handy. Of course, you can just Google. Everybody Googles. They go to their information, their browser, and they just type in Dearborn Heights, and you'll find the address that way. www.ci.dearborn-heights.mi.us.
Well, I hope I've been somewhat familiar, helpful.
Absolutely.
Not absolutely, but...
Councilman Ned Apigian, and we have to put an end to the show, Ned, but thank you so much for hosting Kathleen Buder today from the city of Dearborn and talking about clerk issues and budget issues.
Thanks.
Been listening to the Heights News and Views, a live talk show program part of the WHFR Tuesday Forum series of talk show programs from 1 to 2 p.m. The Heights News and Views is a program presented on the fifth Tuesday of any month. The program is devoted to interviews with prominent individuals on issues important to the residents of Dearborn Heights.